decide to get out of debt. It is not God's will that you are in debt. Tell the person beside you loud and clear, get out of debt.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm your host, and I'm here in the studio with author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark Job. Pastor Mark, you're talking to us in a series called Provision, Seeing the God We Trust, about how to make your money follow you. Now, that's not typically the way I see it going. I see most people chasing after money, and yet Jesus tells us in today's passage in Matthew 6 to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be met in your life. That sounds hard to believe, that if I really put God first, I would have everything I need. I think a lot of people struggle with that.
That's right, Joshua. This passage is counterintuitive to our culture. And Jesus says the pagans run after all these things. Believers run after the kingdom, and these things follow them. That's a revolutionary concept. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be good stewards of our resources. It just means that our priorities need to be in the proper place so that God can actually provide a provision. That's a lot of peas in there.
Sure is. Sure is. How do we do that? How do we move our priority?
Well, let me give you a couple D's now, okay? I started with the P's. Let me give you a couple D's. A couple simple...
Such a preacher.
Simple things, Joshua. Decide to get out of debt. Yeah, war on debt. If you're in debt right now, you need to get out of debt. And I could do a whole message on that. I'm not, because this is an intro. Discipline yourself to save. You need to start saving, even if it's $10 a paycheck, but start something. Get a warehouse that God can bless. Number three, discover the power of giving. That's right. I believe that none of this really moves forward until we understand the power of giving and devise a plan with very small steps. Some people don't start because they feel like it's overwhelming. Start small.
This is good stuff, friends. We're in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Make your money follow you.
When I was 8 years old, we were given a puppy, and we kids decided to give him a name, and we called him Woofy. Creative name. This dog was like every other puppy, except he had one unusual trait. He was extremely big. Even when he was just a puppy, his paw was the size of my hand. He was a mixture between a German Shepherd and a Malamute. As he grew, it seemed like he did not stop growing. He just grew and grew and grew. And even though he was a young puppy, he grew to an enormous size with a huge head and huge paws. And I was given the task of training this puppy. So my dad said to me, Mark, I want you to train him. He needs to learn how to respect. He needs to learn how to obey. And we had done it with another dog that we had. So I knew that I put a collar on him. I put a leash on him. And I wanted to train him how to follow me, how to heal, how to stop, how to sit. The first day I took him out for a walk, I realized that I was not walking him, he was walking me. I was only 8 years old, but I was hanging on to that leash, and he decided he wanted to go smell something over there, and he just dragged me over to where he wanted to smell, and I was pulling and tugging, and I said, okay, stop, and then when he wanted to go somewhere else, he just dragged me over there, and he saw some dogs, and he really dragged me over there, and I was hanging on for dear life, following him, tripping, following, holding back, but he was a bigger force than I was. He had more strength than I did. He had more power. He weighed more than I did. And I realized that he was leading me. Some of you are here today, and that's exactly how it is with your money today. That instead of you leading your money's leading you. Some of you are so in debt today that you feel like you're being dragged around by this beast that's called money and stewardship, you feel like you have no control, that it's dragging you wherever it wants you to go, that it is controlling you instead of you controlling it. You haven't trained it. You haven't managed it. You haven't put it under control. It absolutely controls you. You're barely surviving. It's taking you to places that you don't want to go, like the creditor's office, the almost bankruptcy office, the I can't pay my mortgage office. And you say, I don't know what to do. I feel like my life is out of control and money's dragging me wherever it wants me to go. So if you're here today and that's your situation, I'm here to give you some principles today as to how to make your money follow you instead of you following your money. Are you with me? Okay. Now, if you haven't been a part of this series, this is my third message in a three-part series called Provision. Last week, I talked to you about how to stop worrying about money. Today, I want to talk to you about how to have money follow you. Now, years ago, I determined, about a decade ago, I determined that every year I would at least take 2 or 3 weeks and I would teach the congregation about stewardship and money management. Because the Bible has a lot to say about that. And I realized that I was talking to so many people that were way in over their heads into debt, that were stressed out in their marriage, that were lacking peace in their life, that felt like they were just unable to live their life the way they wanted to because money had become such a major problem in their life. And you've heard this statistic before, but let me say it once again. Money stress is the number one cause for divorce in our country. Couples get under so much pressure under money that it stresses out their marriage. They end up fighting all the time. Every time they're together, it's about how much they spend and how much you don't make. And, you know, you need to cut up your credit cards. And I saw a charge once again. And so they stress so much about it that they end up fighting, getting a divorce, and ruining their household simply because they have not learned how to manage their money. So if you have not been following this series, let me just summarize a couple of things I've been telling you. I've been telling you, first of all, decide to get out of debt. It is not God's will that you are in debt. Tell the person beside you loud and clear, get out of debt. Tell the person on the other side, get out of debt. Here's the thing about debt. The Bible says that the borrower is a slave to the lender. So as long as you owe, then you will not have liberty or freedom to control your own destiny. Your lender controls your destiny. How many hours you work, where you live, whether you move, how long your vacation is, your lender controls your destiny. God wants you to be free. Free to follow him. Free to not owe anybody anything except to love them. So get out of debt. Listen, you need to make a war on debt. If you cannot manage your credit card, some of you need to have a burning or cutting up credit card party. The average American household is $15,000 in credit card debt, paying 18 to 19% interest, making them not even be able to keep up with the minimal payments on their credit card. You need to say, I will not get out of debt. Dave Ramsey says it this way. He says, debt is financial whining. I want it. I don't have it. I want to buy it now. I don't have the cash. Let me just charge it. Debt is financial whining. Number two, I've talked to you about discipline yourself to save. Discipline yourself to open up a savings account, to put some money away. What happens if you don't save? You're not giving God anything to bless. The Bible talks often about the whole idea of a storehouse, putting something aside to save. I know that if you're in debt today, you say, how can I save anything? I can barely pay my bills. But I want to challenge you, if you do not have a savings account, that you would open one up and that you not touch that money that's in there. Even if it's $10, $20 that you put away every paycheck. So begin to put something aside. If you are not saving, you are setting yourself up for further debt because emergencies happen. So open up a savings account and discipline yourself not to spend everything that you own. Thirdly, discover the power of giving. There is something incredibly powerful when you realize that I am not simply making money to spend it all on myself, but I have the power to help others, the power to give beyond myself. Because when I discover the power of giving, it releases and unleashes something in my finances that's very powerful. The Bible talks about it. Our society talks about it. Go to any financial management book, secular or Christian, and you will find that many of them have discovered the power of giving. And then number four, devise a plan and start with small steps. If you're in a difficult place financially, you didn't get there overnight. You got there over years. So therefore, you're not going to get into a good place overnight as well. It may take you it may take you 2, 3, 4 years to get out of debt. It may take you some time to get into a good place financially. But the journey towards that starts now. It starts today. With whatever habits you choose to implement now is what you're going to be in 4 years from now or 5 years from now. So you need to set down and devise a financial plan. By the way, last week I had at least 2 or 3 people ask me, Pastor, where can I learn more? Are you going to talk about how to do a budget? And I'm not, because a large setting like this is not the best place to figure that out. But we are starting a financial class this week, and Israel and Liz are going to be leading that. Let's give it up for Israel and Liz. Yeah. Israel has been teaching a financial class for several years, has a real heart to see people get out of debt, learn to budget their finances. And so you're going to learn everything is how to get out of debt, how to set a budget, how to actually begin to create a will, and a lot of just basic things and biblical principles of how to operate in that. And so after service, if you want to sign up for that class, they'll be over there and you can sign up for further instruction on that class.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Make Your Money Follow You, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Provision, Seeing the God We Can Trust. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Make Your Money Follow You.
I'm going to lead you to one of the passages that I believe has some powerful, powerful, life-transforming truths. That the first time I read it, I was shocked. And it's found in Malachi chapter 3. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to look at verses 6 through 10 of Malachi chapter 3. Malachi was a prophet speaking to a people that were in a difficult place spiritually. One of the problems that they had is that many of the men were actually divorcing their wives and they were marrying younger women that were not believers, but it was a big practice in the day that men who had been married for a long time were saying, you're not meeting my needs anymore. I don't want to be married to you anymore. I found a younger version. And so they were divorcing their wives, messing up their families, and marrying pagan women who didn't really follow God. And so this was a widespread practice that was happening because of their spiritual condition. Another thing that was happening in Israel at the time is that And you'll find that in chapter 2, verse 13 through 16. You'll also find that people were doubting that God would bring justice, and they had become cynical about living for God. They were looking at people that were not living for God, and they were saying, hey, that person doesn't live for you. They don't even honor you, and it looks like their life is going better than my life. So why should I follow you, God, if the person that doesn't follow you seems like they're doing better than I am? How many of you have ever thought that? You've seen someone say, they're doing better than I am, and they don't even follow you, read the Bible, pray, go to church. Why would I? Lord, what's going on? And so they had become cynical about God and following God, and you'll find that in chapter 2, verses 17 through 3, verse 5. The other problem that had surfaced in this among the people is that they had become arrogant. They had an attitude in which they thought that the wealth they had made it themselves. That what they had achieved themselves. And so they had an arrogant attitude towards God, and they doubted the promises of God. You say, Pastor, I thought you were going to talk about finances. I'm getting there. The point that I'm making from this passage, and Malachi talks about finances, is that these people, their families were falling apart, their marriages were disintegrating, they were cynical about their walk with God, and they were arrogant and proud in their spiritual life, doubting the promises of God. They were spiritually backslidden. They had lost their fire. They had lost their zeal for God. They were supposed to be people that were following God, but they weren't following God very well at all. And so Malachi, the prophet, challenges them and speaks on God's behalf, and he tells them a plan to restore their spiritual life. And this plan includes how they manage their finances. And here's where I want you to see what God is saying to them, because their spiritual renewal and the management of their finances go hand in hand. Notice what he says in verse 6. God is speaking and he says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and you have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you. If you're taking notes today, I want you to jot this statement down. God tells them three things. The first thing that God says to this people is, return to me. Return to me. You know, at times the door to spiritual renewal is opened through financial obedience. These people were far from God. They were hard in their heart. They were no longer walking with spiritual vitality. And God says to them, return to me and I will return to you. Don't you love that? I love the fact that over and over in Scripture, God's promise is that if you would turn your heart back to God, God is always willing to turn his heart back to you. In James, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I love the fact that God doesn't stand there with his arms crossed and says, you know what? No, I don't want to have anything to do with you. That God says, the moment that you stop and turn around and say, Lord, I'm far from you. I want to take steps towards you. That God takes five steps towards you when you take one step towards God. If you're here today and you're far from God and you know that your heart is distant, and you know that God seems 2,000 miles away when you pray, it feels like your prayers are hitting on the ceiling and bouncing back. It seems like you're talking to yourself when you pray. If you're here today saying, you know, it's been a long time since I felt the presence of God close to me. I feel like I've walked down a path and I'm far from God. Here's the good news. The good news is that if you hear his voice today and you choose to say, I'm tired of living this way. I don't want to continue on this way. I'm going to stop. I'm going to turn my heart to God and I'm going to say, God, I don't even know exactly how to make my way back, but I'm taking one step towards you saying, Lord, please meet me. The beautiful thing about the heart of God is that God promises if you turn to him, he will turn to you. That's the heart of the living God for you today. Now, Malachi had a specific challenge to the people of Israel in the day because he told them to return to God and he would return to them. But he went a little bit further. And when the first time I read this, this passage actually shocked me because I thought, well, what does that have to do with someone's heart? And he says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how can we return? Verse 8, Malachi says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you in your tithes and offerings? Now, Malachi was speaking to a people that had turned away from God, but in turning away from God, they had abandoned their wives, they had turned from God's promises, and they basically had told God, God, we don't trust you anymore. So God is telling this people, I want you to trust me again. And one of the ways that I want you to trust me is I want you to trust me also with your finances, because where a person's treasure is, there their heart will be also. And so, you know, have you ever been robbed before? How many of you have been robbed before? It's not a great feeling, is it? I've been robbed a couple of times, not strong-armed robbed, thankfully, but I've had things stolen from me. I remember one time I was actually, we were starting up our Humble Park location, and there was a church there that needed starting up, so I had gone there for some meetings, and this was several years ago, so the smartphones had not perfected GPS, so I had a GPS in my car. I ran in for a meeting. When I came out, there my car was with the driver's side window bashed in, so there was glass all over, and someone had reached in and taken my GPS. And couple things happened. I didn't say, thank you, Jesus. I hope that person was able to use that GPS better than me. The first thing I says, where's that person that took my GPS? I mean, I'm looking around. I was angry. Like, the goal of that person to break my car window, to get into my stuff, to steal my stuff. I mean, really, that had to be pretty blazing. And here I am in the neighborhood trying to help this neighborhood out, and someone is stealing my stuff. And I got to go repair this window. And there's a sense of violation. It doesn't make you friends with that person. I mean, if I would have seen that person, I doubt I'd have hugged him, invited him to church. I'd have had other things I wanted to say to that person. Not as sanctified, but I would have, you know, I wasn't very friendly towards them because they had taken something that belonged to me. When someone robs you, you feel violated. When someone robs you, you feel like, hey, you have crossed boundaries and taken something that is not yours to take, and you've taken it, and so it creates an anger towards that person. It creates a sense of distance towards that person because they've robbed you of something. God is telling these people, you have stopped trusting me. You have stopped letting me meet your needs. You have become selfish. You have abandoned your wives and said, I'm not going to trust you, God, in marriage, and I'm going to marry some young woman and have her meet my needs. You stopped trusting my promises. You stopped depending on me. You've walked away from me, and with your finances, you've done that very same thing. You are no longer trusting me with your finances. In fact, not only are you not trusting me, but you're robbing me. Now, what I realized when I first read this passage is that God was challenging them because they were no longer putting him number one.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Provision, Seeing the God We Can Trust. Tonight was the first half of his message called Make Your Money Follow You. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself for the evening. Thank you so much for listening. Please do have a great night and join us again for the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Make Your Money Follow You on the next Straight Talk. God bless.